Joining us right now at PMP Network is a legend in the rock industry. He's a guy that's written over 200 songs, had so many hits. And in fact, and we're going to find out about this, but I believe that actually the Beatles might have opened for him at some point. I don't know. We're going to talk with Gary U.S. Bonds right now. He's got a great new book out. It's called By U.S. Bonds. That's B-Y. That's My Story by Gary U.S. Bonds. It's a great book written with Stephen Cooper, and it's available right now online everywhere. Welcome to the program.
Hey, glad to be here. Glad we finally made it.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you, and I really read the book, and it's really a kind of a history of rock and roll and a history of the blues and everything else. It's a pretty cool book.
Yeah, we had a great time doing it, I'll tell you that.
And one of the things I liked about it was the foreword by Steve Van Zandt.
Yeah, my new partner. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, I want to know a little bit about that, and of course, folks can read the book and find out about these things in detail, but... Your career was, you were huge in the early 60s, huge. And all of a sudden, you were reborn again through Bruce Springsteen. How did that all happen?
Bruce came to a club I was working in Jersey back in 76. And he got up on stage and did a couple of songs with me. Meanwhile, I didn't know who he was, because everybody else in the club knew who he was. And, we had a great time and struck up a friendship that evening. We've remained that way for the last 40 years or so. Yeah,
it's amazing though. But you know, his popularity and the culmination of some of the things you guys did. I know you've been on stage with him quite a few times in the E Street Band.
Oh yeah, we were just finishing up just a few months ago the MetLife Stadium when he was there. So I went out there a couple of nights and did some shows with him. That was a blast. You know, 50,000-60,000 people yelling and screaming. It's
kind of
cool.
It is. One of the things that I really enjoyed reading in the book was, you know, some of the things you talked about your early years with Benny King and some of these people who were legends in the music biz. Tell a little bit about where you grew up and how you got into the biz. I know by reading this, but a little short version.
Well, I grew up in Norfolk, Virginia. Capital of the world by any means, but it's in the capital of the world, I tell you that. And just kind of by luck, got a chance meeting with Frank Wheeler, who owned a record store there. And from there, he opened up a recording studio, and I was one of his first acts. And thank God we did one recording, and it became a hit. Up to the first song, New Orleans, and we've been riding the wave ever since.
Quarter to Three was an enormous hit that's been done by a lot of people as well. Tell me a little bit about that song.
Which one is that? Three, yeah, well, a little Bill Wyman did it. Well, quite a few people did it, as a matter of fact. That was a song that was originally instrumental, recorded by Danny G at Church Street 5. And Daddy G was just with me last night to celebrate my birthday. And it didn't do too well as an instrumental, and they asked me to come in and put some lyrics on it real quick. I did so, and about 10 minutes later, we went in and recorded it. Magic happened.
It certainly did. And you just mentioned something that was interesting. It is your birthday, and happy birthday to you.
Yeah, birthday today. We had a big bash at B.B. King's last night. Our annual bash, our fifth annual birthday bash here. It was amazing. You know, super packed house, had about 1,000 people in there. And some of my friends came in and helped me celebrate. Chubby Checker was there, and we sang a few songs together. D.D. Sharp came in, and so did Southside Johnny, Gordon Edwards, and bass player from George Benson's band, and a couple of guys from the Rock of Ages, and Jerry Blavitt, Gita with the Heater, Philadelphia DJ, and we just had a blast. It was one heck of a time.
It sounds like it. It sounds like you had a fantastic birthday. And the other thing I wanted to let people know, because I know we have a lot of people on the West Coast who listen to the program, that you're going to be doing a book signing at Book Soup on June 17th in L.A.
Yeah, in West Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah, so
that's gonna be great too.
I want to let people know that. Now, one of the things that I think is amazing is the way music has changed and the way it's distributed. When you were coming in, you know, you'd meet a DJ, the guy would like your music, play it, and it'd become instant hits. It's changed so much now with the internet, huh?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit now. It's much different. I mean, when I started out, thank God I got a chance meeting with Dick Clark, who played it on his American Bandstand show, and that's how a record became a hit back in those days. He liked it, put it on there, and all of a sudden everybody else should like it. That's
yeah.
The way it worked, you know. That was great. Can't do that anymore.
Now, do you have an internet presence? If folks want to go to your website, do you have one?
Yeah, you can go to GaryUSBonds.com, and I'm on there. I'm all over that sucker.
Now, do you actually do anything on there yourself?
Sure do. Especially my daughter too, because she's been teaching me about this computer stuff for the last few years. I'll still never get the whole effect of it, but at least I'm trying.
So where does your music talent come from?
I guess it derived maybe mainly from my mother. My mother was a piano teacher when I was growing up. She tried to get me to play piano, but I didn't want to do it. I was boys would laugh at me if I had to learn how to play piano. So I didn't. I wish I had now. That was one thing I should have taken from her. But I think it derived from her. She was a big music fan.
Did you take up any other instruments at all?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I can pick out a tune on the keyboard, but I don't ask me to sit down and play any specific song for you. I'll embarrass myself.
Because I know you write songs. Do you actually write music as well?
Yeah, I can write the music. Like I say, I can write it down enough where I can have a musician get the idea, you know. And that's all you need when you're writing a song or when you're producing. As long as the musicians can get an idea, and they're good musicians, they can cut it.
I remember, I think it was Paul McCartney, or one of the men have been John Lennon, who said that they never read music, and I never could understand how you could write songs without writing music, but I guess you can.
Yeah. Most of the acts that do write, you know, that's how they do it. It's very few, you know, you get a guy like a George Benson or something who, you know, can write, sing, and play, and all that stuff, you know, trained to do that. But usually singers, they don't train to do that. We're too lazy.
There's a few. I'm thinking of Stevie Wonder. He's a good example that can do that.
Yeah, but he can't sight read.
And well, that's true, but he can braille read, though.
He can braille read.
Yeah, he does pretty well with that. You know, one of the things that I was kind of really interested in, and it's something that I'm not, I'm a Caucasian individual here, and you had a lot of experiences growing up being an African-American in a world where African-Americans were told to be in certain places at certain times. And I found that kind of interesting. But also you actually were able to get around that in many ways because of the people that you hung with. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was just, I guess it's the way you carry yourself. You know, you can do anything and go anywhere. As long as you carry yourself the correct way, you know. A lot of people just don't know how to act, I guess, you know. But yeah, we had a lot of problems down in Virginia, of course. We was in a segregated area down there, but I kind of made it in all the clubs and all the functions that were going on, just because I knew how to act.
One of the things that has come across when I've talked to many of the acts who were huge in the 60s was the fact that their record companies made a ton of money on them, and they didn't make that much, and they still don't. Do you have that in, that situation? And many of the acts I talk to re-record all their music so they can sell them themselves and make some money. Have you done the same thing?
Yeah, I haven't really released any of the other stuff, but yeah, I'm in the process now of re-recording all of that stuff. Since I have the studio at my home, it's, it makes it quite easy for me to do.
Yeah.
I have the musicians at hand, you know, and Daddy G is still alive, so you know, there's possibilities we can get the exact same thing going again. Maybe with a much newer sound. I don't know if we need that, but at least we can give it a try.
It's kind of exciting to think of that, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's very exciting, you know?
Yeah.
I know that you're doing it. I know these songs quite well. I've done them quite a bit.
Yeah, but I assume that if you've done them so many times that you probably have some new twists that you'd love to do and that your audience might have really appreciate.
No, you know what? I don't think people want to hear a new twist. They like to hear what they know and what they loved and what they bought, you know, years ago. People like that. I know I like to hear. I mean, if I had a Sam Cooke record, I would want Sam Cooke to sing it different. I want to hear it like Sam Cooke sang it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You know, talking about segues, about twisting, you mentioned Chubby Checker, and during that twist craze, a lot of people don't remember. You had two huge hits, twist songs.
Yeah, we did. We had the Dear Lady Twist and Twist in Europe. Yeah, we kind of stepped on Chubby's thing that he was doing, and it worked out good.
Yeah, I know. It was a big hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very big hit.
Yeah. So what made you decide after all these years to put together a book?
Well, Stephen Cooper traveled with me to Europe, and he kind of wrote down everything that we did over there, and when we got back, I didn't know he was writing it about what we were doing, and he says, I want to show you something, and he showed me different chapters he had about a three-week adventure over there in England, and it was very, very interesting. I says, oh man, you should be a writer. He goes, well, I've always wanted to be a writer. I always wanted to write a book. I'd like to do your autobiography. And of course I agreed. And he did an excellent job. A really, really good job.
Yeah, I thought he did. He really brought your voice out, I thought.
Yeah, I thought he did. I mean, he captured what I was trying to say all these years. So that's how I got into it. It's only by chance of meeting him.
Now, when I introduced you, I mentioned the Beatles. Now, someone when I was going to do the interview, said to me that ask Gary about the Beatles because, according to this individual, they opened up for you.
We have never confirmed that. Now, when I went over to Europe, I was there with Johnny Burnett and Jimmy McDaniel. Back in those days, when you went to Europe, you didn't carry a band. Got a band that was there to back up his show. And we were there for 3 weeks, and they hired this band for us, we rehearsed with them, and we went out for the first week, and they were terrible. So we fired them when we got back to our home in London, and we hired another band, and they were worse. So we told the promoters, okay, well, let's go back and get the other band, let's try real. See if we could work with them again. And so he went back and got these guys. Now, when I got back to Norfolk, my manager at the time, Frank Guida, told me a few months later, he said, you know, that man you worked with in England, he said, they've just started recording things over there. I go, yeah. He says, yeah, the name is, they call themselves the Beatles. And that's how I knew about that. Now, I haven't been able to, Frank Reeder's dead, of course, so I can't confirm it with him, but that's what they told me, and that's my story, and I'm sticking
to it. Well, do you remember them at all? I mean, was that when they had Tony Sheridan, and they were doing, like, My Bonnie and things like that?
I haven't a clue. They were just four English guys, and they hired a sax player. so they can play at least my part. But no, I didn't recognize them at all. I don't remember because they were just, you know, they were just a band. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Interesting. So nowadays, are you still touring on a regular basis and out there?
Yeah, you know, I'm not touring like we used to tour, but you know, I do about 50, 60 shows a year, except for when I have to go overseas and we can add, you know, 3 or 4 weeks to do that. You know?
Yeah. You talked to her in the book, and I'm trying to find her name now, but there was a woman who, was it Lucille, who was like a big influence on you and with her lounge, Mark IV Lounge?
Yeah, the Mark IV Lounge, yeah, Lucille, still in the office, still alive, lively lady. In fact, when we go to Norfolk July 5th, we're going back there to do a book signing in my home. Going to have a special party for all my friends, just my friends, and Lucille. We're going to sit there and tell some more lies and have a few beers.
That's cool. I really dug the stories that you had about your friends, and you and I have one thing in common. I have a lot of friends that I've had for 50 years, and things haven't changed no matter what I've been doing or they've been doing. We're just like we were. When we're together, we feel like we're 15 years old, you know, and I know you have the same kind of feeling.
Oh, yeah. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, yeah, we do the same thing. Exactly the same thing. I mean, we get around, and the girls are getting much prettier every year, you know, in the stories. We're getting much stronger, doing much more things, but the lies keep coming.
Yeah, well, now, are you still writing new music now, or are you pretty much doing what you did before?
No, we're still writing, especially me and my daughter, and we're recording. Like I said, we have a studio at home now, so all my recordings are done there. So I don't have to go anywhere, just get up and start rocking and rolling.
Yeah, in fact, your daughter and your wife have a prominent role in the book here in terms of your management and the playing. Your daughter, I guess, plays with you and writes with you, and your wife was kind of like a manager, if I'm looking at this thing right?
No, they're both in my background.
They're both sing with you, okay? Because I know that, yeah, was it big something and little something or something?
Little Mama.
Yeah. Yeah.
My daughter, she's also co-producer. My wife is singing background, and she's a financier.
Wow. Now, see, I let me ask you a question about that, just between you and me, okay? We're not going to let the other people listen. What's it like, though, being with your wife all the time? I don't think I could take that, nor would my wife be able to take that with me.
Well, we've done it now, and we just celebrated our 50th anniversary in this March.
Wow.
So it's been cool. Now, affected so far, but give it another week.
Well, and it's nice that your daughter travels with you too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got number one sidekick.
That's kind of cool.
Takes care of me.
It's a really interesting book. I really enjoyed it, and I could probably talk to Gary for an hour and a half, but they said, hey, Mark, you know, cut it short. So, but learning with people like Sam Cooke and B.B. King, and what a life.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Especially being around, you know, those are my idols, you know. And my first major gig, I got to be with some of my idols. You know, B.B. King was on the gig, Jackie Wilson was on the gig. We got Sam Cooke came in, we got to the Apollo, and Ruth Brown, the Vern Baker, you know, back then when they had those package shows, all those guys were on there, and I got a chance to be with them my first week out.
It's unbelievable. When I get a chance to interview people like yourself and people I grew up really admiring, it's quite a rush. And to be at your first concert with people like that, it's unbelievable. What a foreshadowing of great success. Yeah, I know, it's amazing. Well, the book, folks, is called Buy, B-Y, U.S. Bonds. That's My Story by Gary U.S. Bonds. It's available everywhere in the country. If you want to go get it, get it. And it's published by Wheatley Press. And we should mention that you can go to GaryUSBonds.com for more information. And Gary, it's a pleasure to meet you.
And if you order the book on GaryUSBonds.com, I will personally sign it for you.
There you go. That's even a better deal. Autographed copies. Yeah. All right, Gary, it was a pleasure for me to meet you.
Right?
What was that?
I said you also know that there's a CD that comes with it.
Well, see, I didn't get a CD with mine.
Oh, you got robbed.
I got a sample, yeah, and I didn't get an autograph on mine either. It's too bad, but what can you do?
See, you really got robbed. You got to have better connections. But there's a CD called That's My Story, and I'm sticking to it. It comes with the book.
Oh, wow.
We'll send it to you. Don't worry about it. We'll get you straight down.
That's kind of cool that it comes with a CD. Now, what is the actual price on the book since mine didn't have one?
I don't know. I think it's around $30, somewhere around in that area.
Such a deal. Go online right now and buy one for Dad. What a great Father's Day gift.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. And you can read it to your kids. No cursing.
Yeah, read it to the babies. It's a good way. Give them a little musical education. Gary, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I look forward to some of your new stuff coming out as well.
Oh, yeah. We're starting to work on that as we speak.
All right. Take care. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.